Welcome to Contingency FM. Welcome to another episode of Bedside Chats. In these episodes, we meet with different consultants from different specialties to chat through why they came into their specialty and get some advice for juniors rotating in. Today, we're joined by Shalabh Srivastava, who is a renal consultant at Sunderland Hospital.
Hello.
So thank you very much for your time today.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure.
As I say, you're a renal consultant at Sunderland. Is there anything else that...
So I'm also a clinical lecturer at Newcastle University, where I pursue my research interest, and I do my clinical work at Sunderland.
And we'll be interviewing you shortly about your academic interest as well, because I think there's lots of advice that you're very, very qualified to give to anyone looking into a career in academic medicine. Before we start, I've got a lighthearted question to start off with. If you could had to do anything apart from medicine, what would you be and why?
I would have been a builder.
And why?
I think. I really like to do new things and build new things, get an idea and run with it, and do a lot with my hands. So yes, I would have become a builder.
That's cool.
Yes.
I know I wanted to be like either a toy shop owner or a sweet shop owner, but that was when I was very young. So obviously you've come into renal medicine instead.
I did.
So what was your route into renal medicine? Why did you choose renal?
So I started out wanting to become a gastroenterologist, a liver specialist,
right.
Believe it or not. So I did a whole year. So after my graduation, I graduated from Stanley Medical College in southern India.
Right.
And then moved to the UK in 2004.
And what stage in training were you?
That was just after F1.
Right, okay.
What would be F1?
Yeah.
It was pre-registration house officer year then.
Right.
So I'd done that in India, and I'd moved after that to London, where I, for the first 6 months, I worked with Parveen Kumar.
Of
Kumar and Clark
fame.
Yes, yes. And she's a gastroenterologist. So I worked in her clinic, a really impressive and inspirational person.
Yeah.
So having worked with her, I thought, well, this is it. You know, as soon as I started, I'd work with someone as inspirational as her, and decided this is what I want to do. I then went on to do another year of gastroenterology and liver medicine at Barts.
Right.
And met some really inspirational consultants and academics. But then I moved on to renal medicine within the same Barts and the London Trust.
Yeah.
And spent 6 months thinking that, you know, I'll go back to doing gastroenterology. But within that 6 months, the renal consultants and the academics were, you know, just very, very inspirational, very helpful. And I liked the specialty. I could make a difference for patients, because there was, at the end of, you know, if an organ fails, you know, you can offer hope for patients with renal disease. If their kidney fails, it's not sort of game over. You know, you can offer them so many things.
Yeah, you can really slow that progression, or even if it does end.
And if it does end in end-stage renal failure, there is so much more to do.
Yeah,
so
dialysis and...
Dialysis, transplantation, you know, and you can keep shuttling between those modalities for several decades. So there is a lot of hope to be offered for these patients. And that's one reason where I moved away from liver medicine, which is what I wanted to do. Because remember, in liver medicine, very vital and very important part of subspecialty of medicine, but there is no dialysis yet. There is only transplantation, which is a largely surgical pursuit. So that's how I moved from being, you know, wanting to be a gastroenterologist to renal medicine. And I learned that, you know, you shouldn't really make up your mind too early on in your career.
Yeah, that's really wise.
You have to really go through a few specialties before you come to a point where you think, oh, this is for me. And when you think that this specialty is for you, spend some time in it. take an extra 6 months or take a year out and do that specialty.
Yeah.
Because remember, you're going to follow it for the next 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
You don't want to be caught out.
Yeah, it's worth an upfront investment of a year or so here or there.
Yes, yeah. So that's what I did. I did 1 year of renal medicine after that.
Yeah.
And then took a year out and did a trust grade in renal medicine. I made up my mind. So I'd already done nearly 2.5 years of renal medicine before I got my registrar number.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, yes, you could say that it delayed my training a little bit, but I knew what I was getting into by then.
Yeah, so, which is really, really important. Yeah.
Yes.
And what do you think are the best bits about renal medicine?
So the best bits, there are two ways of looking at it. One is your fulfillment.
Mm.
So renal medicine offers you so many things.
Mm.
So I said, you know, I could have become a builder because I want to do things with my hands.
Yeah.
Now, in the last 2 decades, there is a new subspecialty of renal medicine called interventional nephrology. And we are the pioneers in Sunderland of establishing the UK's first interventional nephrology service. It's quite mature in the US, but in the UK, it's at a very nascent stage. There is no unit which is dealing entirely or specifically with interventional nephrology.
Mm.
So very often people don't know that such a subspecialty exists.
Mm.
But we are changing that narrative.
Mm.
And that's why, so that's just one part of it. A lot of people believe that renal medicine is this highbrow specialty which is only practiced in, you know, specialist centers.
At tertiary centers,
you know, really ivory towers where, you know, very difficult to get to.
Mm.
But that is not true.
Mm.
Renal medicine is actually, it should not be that ivory tower specialty.
Mm.
It should be people should be approachable. It is actually a very generalist specialty.
Well, that's one thing I find that especially working on general medicine ward, working cardiology and elderly care, I've found all those, one of the specialties I've had to ring the most has been renal.
Correct, because you kidneys get affected by pretty much everything.
Mm.
So yes, dialysis and transplantation comes at the very end of, you know, a patient's journey.
Mm.
A lot happens before then.
Mm.
And it is very important that you have nephrologists present in from tertiary centers all the way to the smaller centers because it is important.
Mm.
And that in turn offers you a lot of variety.
Mm.
So renal medicine is full of variety. You can do molecular research, you can do genetic research, which is what I did for my PhD. You can do procedures. You know, so if you are a surgical-minded person but don't want to be a surgeon and are thinking of doing cardiology because there is interventional cardiology, think that there are other specialties like nephrology which offer you a lot of interventional experience.
I didn't realize that about the interventional...
Nephrology, correct.
Is that the future of...
That is the future, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's coming and is going to become bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
In fact, we are in the process of proposing a postgraduate certificate course through Newcastle University, and I was just doing the strategic paper for it, actually.
There we go.
Yes.
So a bit of a heads up there for anyone.
For anyone who... So when people who are in their final years are coming through to choose a specialty, they will have the option of doing interventional nephrology.
Mm.
So there is that. There is research. There is the breadth of the subject, which is huge. I mean, transplantation, a lot of people are invested in transplantation.
Mm.
There is immunology, so there is a whole immunological disease process within nephrology.
Yeah.
And vasculitis forms a large part of it. So if you have, say, an interest in immunology, again, nephrology is something that is for you.
And I guess sort of... renal medicine might not be something that people have come across a lot in medical school. So what does an average week look like for you?
So I am part of three rotas. So during my elective week, it's outpatient clinics. So I have a genetics clinic.
Mm.
I have a general nephrology clinic, which is a very generalist clinic.
Mm.
And I have a specialist pre-dialysis clinic. So two specialist clinics and one generalist clinic. And I also offer some acute reviews. So I'm on the acute unit once a week. So there is my sort of elective week. And then I have an interventional nephrology week. So in that week, I will be the on-call interventional nephrologist. And if there's any problems with patients' dialysis access, or we have to establish new, you know, peritoneal dialysis catheters in the abdomen. So all those things are my job in that week. So fistulaplasties, you name it. There is a whole host of procedures which we do in that week. And then there is the on-call renal week, where I'm the on-call consultant for the renal ward. So I'm responsible for the all the inpatients and advice to the regional district general hospitals.
Right.
So I do a 24/7.
So it's a very varied week, well, set of weeks actually. Then you've got a bit of ward work, bit of intervention, and a bit of outpatient. So there's a lot going on there. Yeah.
Correct, there is, and you can choose more or less off it. You know, you don't have everyone doesn't have to do interventional nephrology. So of the 12 consultant colleagues, only 4 do that. The other 8 have other interests like transplantation, even. One of my colleagues doesn't do any inpatient work. She does only outpatient work. So as you can see, it's a very flexible way of offering you a job plan. So it's not rigid. You can make it your own. And that's there is another reason why people should choose nephrology as a career.
Are there any challenges that you think are part of the role? And I guess as part of those, how have you overcome those?
Look, there are always challenges.
Yeah.
And in nephrology, the most important thing to realize is that you will know these patients from the time they had CKD stage 2 or 3 till they get, if they do progress to dialysis, transplantation. So, you know, in many ways, you will need know these patients for years, decades. And sometimes losing them and not being able to offer them that hope is very difficult. So I have a patient who's 40 years old and he is running out of dialysis access at 40 years of age. I can't magic up a transplant for him and he's running out of access. So we have to be constantly innovating as to how do we, and it's not for the inability to give him dialysis. There is dialysis. The patient can get it, but we just cannot establish dialysis access because he's run out of access. So those are the difficult bits, challenging bits of nephrology. And how do you overcome? Well, you start becoming part of the solution. You know, so you have to spread knowledge that dialysis access is a very precious, important thing. You have to innovate. And that's why we've set up the interventional nephrology service, where you have to educate, innovate, and be part of the solution. So yes, there are challenges, but then that's why we are there to rise to those challenges, I think.
Thank you very much. It's some really sort of it must be difficult to lose people that you get quite close to.
Yes, it is very difficult, and we get to know not only them, their families, because remember I run the genetics inherited kidney disease clinic. So sometimes I have a whole family under my care. And it can be very difficult sometimes to tell the patients that their daughter or son has the same illness as them.
Yeah.
And they are likely to take the same course.
And
what we can offer, you know, I run a specialist cystic kidney disease service. And my PhD is in cystic kidney diseases as well. So we are constantly innovating in trying to find out solutions to as yet incurable conditions. We'll talk about that more in the academic aspect of this talk. So.
And last question, just sort of switching to, for anyone who might be switching into a rotation in renal medicine, are there any tips and tricks you can offer to get the most out of or skills that you think would be wise to concentrate on developing?
Yes, I think the first thing is to read up on the common things.
Mm.
Don't think that you're going to come and see patients with Gitelman syndrome or Bartter syndrome,
mm.
which is what people get taught in medical school.
Mm.
That's not true. What you are going to see is bread and butter, day-to-day stuff, like sepsis, acute kidney injury, chronic kidney disease.
Mm.
It's very easy to learn. It's very easy to, you know, your Kumar and Clark will have enough information
Mm.
which you can then apply. So
Mm.
read up before you come, because then you will feel more sort of at one with the process.
Mm.
And be prepared to learn new things, because you will find, no matter what seniority you are coming in at, you will find that it is a very consultant-driven led specialty. We do a daily consultant ward round,
Mm.
365 days of the year.
Mm.
So you will find that you are some people who are senior in their medical career, CT2 or at that level, find that they are being de-skilled
Mm.
because they are not taking those decisions.
Mm.
But that's not true. It is to learn that these patients, their needs are quite individual, they're niche.
Mm.
And the only reason consultants are doing a daily ward round is because we want to help
Mm.
in you making that decision. So yes, so but I hope that whoever wants
Mm.
to do it, please choose to do it, because we are a friendly bunch. There is a lot of support.
Mm.
So having a consultant every day is very supportive, I think, and helps you in your day-to-day knowledge gathering
Mm.
and building up. So yes,
brilliant. Well, thank you very much. That's been some really helpful advice about renal medicine and the renal specialty in general. And tune in next time for another episode of Contingency FM.